Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information, please go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, here is today's message.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you on Mother's Day. Thanks for joining us online again, and we are just so grateful every week. I don't take it for granted that you take time and join us at LifePoint Church for a time to worship the Lord and to respond to His Word, and today is no less any different, even though today is a different day, because as we're doing online church, there's a group of people out in the parking lot doing parking lot church. So it's just fun to be able to have the ability to do it online, but also to be doing it on site. So we're excited that you're with us. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, and really just to all the ladies watching. Happy Ladies Day to you. We're so grateful for you. And I'm so honored to be able to worship the Lord with you this morning. I just pray God's grace, God's presence over you. As we get going this morning, let me just pray as we prepare to hear the word from the Lord. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone that's watching online and everybody that will be watching throughout the week. I just pray blessing over their life. I pray, Father God, just for a heart, just to be alert and attentive to your Spirit's leading in their life. I pray, Father God, for opportunity that they have this coming week to know you and to make you known, Lord Jesus. Be glorified. Help us as we look at your word over the next few minutes, Lord God, to become more like you. Bear your spirit, bear your fruit in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So to all the moms, if you're watching with your mom or to all the ladies, whatever, just let's just kind of do an emoji high five. Just let us know that you're there. Let each other know that you're there and just celebrate each other this morning. As we think about Mother's Day, as I was thinking about this week, just different expressions my mom had towards me, or maybe things that I've heard my wife say to our kids. I was just thinking, man, I am so amazed at all the things that my mom taught me. I mean, my mom taught me how to pray, right? And it came about this way. I would spill something on the carpet and she would make statements like, man, you better pray that comes out of there, right? I'm sure you can identify with that. My mom taught me the art of anticipation. When I would do something and she would make some comment to the effect of, man, you just wait till your dad gets home to deal with you today. Just that anticipation, right? And then my mom taught me justice. She taught me justice in this way by saying something to the effect of, Steve, one day you will have kids of your own, and I hope they turn out just like you. And I would pause and be like, oh, dear Lord, have mercy on me, right? And fortunately, the Lord blessed me with boys that were way more diligent and amazing than I ever was. But though we celebrate moms today, really, I want to celebrate the ladies that are watching, ladies that are participating in this service today, whether you're a mom or you're not a mom. This message is really for all of us. It's just not for Mother's Day. It's not just for ladies, but it's really for all of us, because all of us have the ability to influence a child in our life. To influence people in our life, people that are around us. And so, as you know, our mission here at LifePoint is to invest in generations to influence community. And I believe each one of us get to do that, the privilege to do that, the honor to do that, the responsibility to do that. So today, we're going to look in the lives of two ladies that influenced a young man in a profound way, impacted him. The man's name happens to be Timothy. And these two ladies that we're going to look at are Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and his mother. How big of an impact did these ladies have on young Timothy? Big enough to know that there are two books in the New Testament that are written, two letters written to him that are in the Bible that we glean from, that we learn wisdom, we learn the heart of God from these two letters that we have. for us within the Holy Scripture. Just some background real quick as we get going this morning on Timothy and these letters to Timothy. They're written by his spiritual father, the Apostle Paul. Paul is in a Roman prison. He's anticipating his death, knowing, as he says at the end of 2 Timothy, waiting to be poured out as a drink offering is the terminology that he uses. So Paul is alone in prison. Many of his partners in ministry have left him there, not because they abandoned him, but some of them are doing other ministry tasks. Timothy is away ministering at a church, for example, but only Luke is with him. There were those that abandoned the faith and left him. He mentions those in 2 Timothy as well, but he's there alone in prison awaiting his death, and he writes Timothy two letters. He says this, and this is where I want us to look at this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Look at it with me if you would. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. This is the only place in Scripture that these ladies are mentioned by name. Timothy's mom, Eunice, is mentioned in Acts chapter 16, but not by name. But what you have here is you have three generations in this verse. You have grandmother Lois, who we don't know the order by which the two ladies came to faith in Christ, but maybe Lois came to faith in Christ, and her daughter Eunice saw the transformation within her heart, and she saw what God was doing within her life and her mother's life, and said, you know what, I want what my mother has. And so Eunice came to faith in Christ, and then Timothy came on the scene, and young Timothy, little boy Timothy, watched his mama and watched his grandmother and saw this faith lived out before him and received it as well. Paul is pointing out how these women both planted seeds of faith within Timothy, and seeds that brought forth much fruit as he grew. Timothy became a pastor at the church of Ephesus. And think how those seeds of faith that were planted by Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice were deposited within him. And now think of the fruit that has sprung from those seeds of faith planted within Timothy. Man, it's incredible. It's so awesome to think of the legacy that was begun by these two ladies. What did this grandmother and what did this mother deposit within young Timothy? I don't know fully, but I do know some things. I imagine there was a heart of worship that was deposited within Timothy. I think of Robin, my wife. She often speaks of her grandma Cox, who would gather the family together on Sundays for big family dinners out in western Kansas, and they would eat, and then Grandma Cox would make the way to the piano and begin to play just hymns of the church, and the family would gather around and just begin to sing those hymns of the church. And Robin often mentions just those times, those impactful times on Sunday, but also throughout the week. My wife learned a heart of worship through her grandmother, and how maybe Timothy learned such a heart from his grandmother. You think of just a passion for prayer that was lived before him, because the reality is prayer is better caught than it is taught. And so Timothy seeing that lived out, and we know this, that these two ladies developed and cultivated a love for the Word of God within young Timothy's life. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we read this, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy, from childhood, these truths of Scripture were deposited into your life. We know that the Apostle Paul qualifies these two ladies. He qualifies their faith as what? As sincere. That means that they consistently exposed Timothy to what it means to have and to live a life that is fully devoted to the Lord. It wasn't lip service. It wasn't just ideology. It was devotion unto the Lord that they modeled for Timothy. Like Timothy's family tree, you have the potential to leave a legacy. I think about that. I close my eyes and I picture where so many of us sit in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning. And I think about the legacy that you're leaving, the legacy, the potential, the opportunity that you have to leave an incredible spiritual legacy. I get excited when I think about Robin and I and the privilege that we're having watching our boys grow and begin their own families and one still looking for a wife if anyone's out there. But anyway, just the legacy that they're beginning, that they're living out as they've embraced Christ and walking with him. The other day, Austin and Taylor were home with us for several days and as they were preparing to head back to Colorado, we circled up that morning after church last Sunday and just prayed over them for safe travels, for healing in their bodies, for just opportunities that the Lord is going to give them in the coming days, for wisdom, that they would have a sincere faith, that we would have a sincere faith modeled before them. I don't know what your favorite Bible translation is. I mean, I like preaching from the English Standard Version, the ESV. I like the New Living because of how smooth it reads. I like the Message for just a simple paraphrase. But you know what? I think the best version of Scripture that there is for you to read or for other people to read is your life and how you live out the Scripture and what that brings to people. Maybe it's the Cindy version of Scripture. Maybe it's you know, the Robin Standard Version of Scripture. It's just this life lived out that embeds themselves in Scripture and doesn't just take it to the brain, but moves it down 6 inches to the heart and lives it out fully devoted because your life speaks. Your life models. How can seeds of faith, courage, and generosity and love be planted within the hearts of those that are around you? Mom, grandma, young lady, man, sir, how can that happen? A lot of parents and grandparenting is like planting seeds within those in your circle of influence. And so what I want to do real quick is just simply give you 3 takeaways this morning. The first one is this: your greatest achievement is growing fruit on someone else's tree. Often in our culture, especially in my generation and those that are a little older than me, success and the pursuit of success is the mantra of the day. It's by what we were raised by. You have to be successful. And I just want to submit to you that significance beats success every time. Significance lasts. Success will fade. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about growing fruit on someone else's tree. Planting seeds, watering them, and then watching God grow them into maturity. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. That process does, you look at that process, and that process takes time. At times you don't get to see the fruit of your labor right away, but God does. In Paul's statement to the Corinthians, you see 3 stages of a growing faith, right? You see, you plant the seed of faith, you water that seed, and sometimes as you deposit seeds within people and you're watering it, sometimes the watering is tears. As you wait for that seed to come up out of its soil, wait for that seed to grow, that plant to grow. And then finally, the third step or the third stage you see is that of growth. Faith to believe God is going to grow the fruit in someone's life. So what does it take to grow fruit in someone's life? Well, let's just talk about it real quick. When you plant in cultivated soil, Lois and Eunice provided that for Timothy, a sincere faith that allowed Timothy's seed of faith to flourish. You know this, that I'm not a great gardener by any means, but when we lived on our house on Allen Street here in Valley, when we first moved in, I was so excited to be able to have a garden in the backyard. And so I rototilled up some area and planted some tomatoes and cucumbers and squash and zucchini. And the first year, there wasn't a whole lot there that came up. It just wasn't a good plot of ground. And so the next year, I rototilled it some more and brought in a friend, came in and helped me, brought some fertilizer over. Man, we put that down. We rototilled it in. Then I planted the garden. I planted the jalapenos and I planted the tomato plants because I love making salsa. And I planted some cucumbers and zucchini and squash. And I tell you what, things took off, man. Every morning I went out and I'd pick cucumbers and I'd pick zucchini and squash. And I was like, I don't know what to do with all this stuff. I filled buckets and I began to make around to all my neighbors and say, hey, I got too much. Will you take some? It's that cultivated soil. Next year, I didn't fertilize the soil like I had done previously. And guess what? It didn't produce much. What kind of soil did these two provide for Timothy? Well, you can read about it in Acts 16, verse 1. We won't take time to go there, but encourage you to mark it down and check on it later. Timothy had some issues. He was known for being timid. He had some stomach ailments. He was tempted to let others take advantage of him because of being timid. And it takes patience to let seed develop. Maybe his parents were like, his mom was like, oh man, Timothy got called into ministry. I don't know. He's pretty timid. I don't know how he's going to deal with confrontation. I don't know how he's going to deal with people that would try to maybe dominate him. It takes patience for seed to develop, doesn't it? Have you ever thought, man, is this person ever going to get it? Are they ever going to like understand? Is my kid ever going to know how to do this? Are they ever going to grow up? I mean, I'm sure my mom thought that about me many a times. Man, is he ever going to grow up? You know, I borrowed my sister's boyfriend's car one night when I was about 14 years old. I lived in Colorado. I was not of age to drive and I snuck out, pushed his car down the street. Me and my friend went for a joyride, came back, pushed the car back into place. My friend left. I came back through the window, turned out the lights, went to return my sister's boyfriend's keys. He was sleeping in a different, in the living room down the hallway. My eyes hadn't adjusted. I walked out into the pitch black hallway right into Mama Bear. And Mama Bear was not happy with the decision of her little boy. And I tried to deny it. I tried to hide it. But she saw everything that I did. I'm sure she was thinking, is my son ever going to get it? Or is it going to get worse? Well, fortunately, things got better. But Lois and Eunice patiently watered these seeds of faith in Timothy, and it produced fruit. Look at it, verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1. For this reason, I reminded you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Do you know what Paul is doing? He's affirming that Timothy grew into a godly young man. He's affirming the gifts God had placed within him. He was growing in the character that God had placed within him. He's speaking into that seed that was there, planted by his mom, planted by his grandmother, calling those things out of your kids, out of the younger generations that are around you, out of each other, speaking life. We got to do that. We got to believe that. What did Timothy do as these seeds grew and produced fruit? He helped Paul plant churches. He became a lover and a student of Scripture and proclaimed Scripture. He was the youngest pastor that we know of in the early church. And God grew the seed that his mom and his grandma planted within young Timothy. And your mission, listen, your mission is to grow fruit on someone else's tree. What did Jesus say about it? In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says this: "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and what? Produce lasting fruit." The hardest part of gardening is the waiting. It takes watering and it takes waiting before the fruit comes. Be patient. You don't know what the efforts of your labor will produce unless you don't do anything. You know, not doing anything will produce nothing. You can count on that. But wait patiently for the budding to happen. What else does it take to grow fruit in someone else's tree? Secondly, growing fruit requires water. As we already said, it requires water and then waiting. Have you ever asked or thought, is this kid ever going to grow? Is he ever going to get it? How many have ever thought, is she ever going to pick up her shoes without me having to ask her? Is he ever going to just do the homework? I mean, he knows it's going to be there. Is he just ever going to have the initiative just to do it? Are they ever going to do the dishes themselves? I mean, how many of us have ever thought that, right? Are they ever going to call and just let me know that they're running late? That's all I want to. That's all I want them to do. Just call me. Ugh, the waiting. It can be so difficult sometimes. What happens when you don't see the growth? You know, sometimes we panic. Sometimes we begin to rush it. We can either panic or we wait. Waiting can be agony, or at least it feels like agony. Many of us have felt the agony of waiting. And what we need to do during those moments is we need to stand and declare the promises of God while you're in that waiting room. You have to anchor to something. Seeds that will eventually produce wonderful fruit can take a long time to get to that process of fruit bearing. You think of the sweet cherry tree. That tree will take 4 to 7 years before it will produce fruit. You think of the papa tree. It takes 5 to 7 years. You're like, what's a papa tree? Papa fruit is the little fruit and fruit cocktail. You learned something this morning, right? So papa tree will take 5 to 7 years before it'll ever bear fruit. Maybe you're waiting to have a child. Maybe you're waiting for a spouse. Maybe you're waiting for your kid to discover what they want to do because they're so conflicted in that. Maybe you're waiting for your kid to finally move out of your house. Maybe you're waiting, I don't know, for that kid that you lived and you modeled Christ before them and they've walked away from the faith. And so now you're waiting for them to come back to the faith. Waiting can seem like forever. Waiting is a time and the place where we either rest in the sovereignty of God or the attempt of self-sufficiency. Ladies, today, as you leave, and if you're watching at home, you have an invitation to come to the church. You'll receive a rose from us. And it took time for that rose to get to where it is today. It started with a seed and it grew and it was watered and it developed and it was trimmed a little bit. And then you have this beautiful rose that you're going to receive today. It took time and we have the opportunity to be like God and wait for the seed of faith to come alive and in the lives of those that we're depositing that seed of faith in. Remember the recipe for authentic growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Waiting is one of the holiest things that we get to do. It's an act of faith and it's an act of trust. And as you're waiting in the waiting rooms of life, remember this statement: gardening is my job, but growth is God's. The Holy Spirit can produce something as beautiful as the bloom in that child's life, in that person's life that you have the ability to influence. The Holy Spirit, really, if you want to think about it, the Holy Spirit is miracle grow, right? Holy Spirit is able to overcome our shortcomings. Paul said, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gave the increase. Timothy ultimately embraced a godly legacy because he embraced Jesus through what he saw in his mom and in his grandmother. You are planting seeds right now in your own life, but also in the lives of others. Seeds that are leaving a legacy. Think about it. The entire church, there's a book of Ephesians in your Bible. Timothy pastored that church. The entire church of Ephesus reaped the benefit of Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice living a sincere faith before Timothy, so that Timothy embraced that faith, embraced that seed. Gardening is my job, but growth is God's. Rest in who God is. Do your job. Be faithful in your job. Rely on the Holy Spirit to do your job, to help you do your job. And God will cause that seed to grow. Let me pray for you right now. Father God, as we step into a time of worship here, I pray, Lord, that we would ponder the words and the lessons that we learned from Timothy's parents, Timothy's mom and grandmother, excuse me. And Lord, I pray that we would live a sincere faith. God, it's not about perfection. It's about our direction. And may it be our heart and our desire, Lord, to live a sincere faith before you and also before others. And God, that we would be strengthened and we would be empowered by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you don't call us to do anything in our own strength, in our own ability, but you empower us and you help us. Holy Spirit, thank you for being our partner. Thank you for leading us. And may you, the seeds that have been deposited in people around us, may those seeds flourish and produce fruit, everlasting fruit for your kingdom and for your glory, we pray.
This concludes today's message. Thank you for listening. We're looking forward to connecting with you very soon.